Okay, good afternoon. Let me have everyone's attention. We're recording now. So this session, welcome to Leading When Life Hurts. Okay, our presenter is Dan Hauk. Okay, not bad. This workshop is sponsored by Six Diamond Tree Service. If you have any trees you need to cut down, call Six Diamond. Now our presenter.
All right, just want to let you know, you can go out this door to lunch. You'll be first.
So this is the time I should tell everyone that signing up for the session before lunch means that you're really wanting to skip lunch, fast and pray, and have another time together here. Is that what you're doing? So everyone is sort of bypassing lunch this year. So thank you for your commitment to Jesus. He will honor you. He will bless your ministry. I promise you. I promise you. Can I get a witness? There we go. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is Daniel Hauk. I have the privilege of serving as part of the network leadership team. And I know so many familiar faces around here, most of which I like. Rick, you're in that category of who I like, just for the record. But just teasing you. Leading with a limp. How many have done it? If you're a leader, you've gone through pain, right? So that's our topic today. I learned a couple of years ago, I sat in a session with David Quigley. And what he did, he went ahead and did this. So I'm going to do the same thing. He showed a picture. He showed a picture. He showed a picture. Rick, he showed a picture of his grandchildren. They were not as cute as mine. These aren't his. These are mine, baby. So I don't know if Quickie's in the room, but I win this one. So, but I thought that was a great idea. That was Easter. Aren't they sweet and cute? Yeah, they're just, isn't grandparenting fun? Seriously. I'm not old enough to be a grandpa, but it's fun. That's for sure. But so grateful that you're here today. I want to go ahead and just open up in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the calling, God, that you have on each of our lives. Lord, it's a privilege to serve you and to serve your church. So, Father, today we just ask, Holy Spirit, you help us. Illuminate the truths, oh God, that you want us to learn. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. Look at the screen. You can also look at your card. I went ahead and did a little different thing this time. A little easier to write on when you're on your knee, am I right?
Yes.
So it's a little easier when it's a cardstock, so there's that. So you should each have a card. If you need a card, lift up your hand, and we have some folks that, we have our ushers, do we still have some cards? Thank you, Danny. Just keep your hands up and Danny will pass them out. I should have enough there. So pain is a part of what?
Life.
And pain often follows leaders. If you're leading people, you are far from exempt from pain. Now, we're talking all kinds of different pain today. We're talking sometimes self-induced pain, mistakes you've made, stumbles you've had, right? So pain that only can be justified by what choices you've made, right? And sometimes that's the worst pain. When you can look yourself in the mirror and realize some of the consequences for my own choices, I'm suffering right now, and I don't like it, and it hurts. And it's causing me to limp. Sometimes you get pain from, if you're a leader, have you ever had an unsigned letter or email sent your way? Have you ever gotten those? Dear pastor. And at the very bottom, there's no name. Have you gotten some of those? On the envelope, it does not have a return address. It's one of those. It's unnamed. Sometimes those hurt as well. Pain from a board member with a hidden agenda. Ever been a part of a board meeting where somebody in the room has a hidden agenda? Yeah, so those are some of the pains. Or pain from knowing someone on your team was just diagnosed with cancer. That's a pain that you carry that as a leader, it causes us to potentially limp. And we're going to talk about some of those things, some causes of limping, some biblical limpers we'll cover in a moment, and how to lead while limping. I've learned over the years that people don't need perfect leaders. They need honest ones who understand pain, failure, and what? Redemption. Pain, failure, and redemption. If that can't be modeled in the lives of their leaders, then where else will they learn how to get through the stuff? Can you say stuff?
Stuff.
The stuff of life. because we all go through it. And every member of your team, every group that you're leading, whether you're a pastor or a children's ministry leader or whatever leadership, you're in this room because you're a leader. So whoever your sphere of influence is needs to have someone as an example of when I stumble my knees, this is what it looks like to get up, brush them off, and keep on trucking. Can you tell my age when I said keep on trucking? Some of you younger guys are like, what's he talking about? Us guys with grayish hair, we know what that means, right? Keep on trucking. So it's important for all of us to have that opportunity to, even when we're dealing with personal struggles, to embrace your vulnerabilities, focus on your strengths, and lead with authenticity. I've read some stats lately where some of the younger generation, 30 and under, they're not so impressed by programs as much as they used to be. Instead, they're more impressed by authenticity and just be genuine. That means showing some of your warts, showing some of your scars, showing some of your scratches. So some of you struggle with that. How much do you show? How much do you allow people to see inside of your hurting world? If I can, I'm going to just share a brief moment of my own testimony. Can I do that this morning? Because I figure, you know, at the end of the day, nothing's more powerful than your own words, right? I've had the chance to be in different aspects of ministry, and for a season I was pastoring a church that was thriving. Signs and miracles, wonders were happening. Just a lot of good stuff was happening. And all of a sudden, my wife decides to take a hard left turn and make some decisions that are very contrary to Christian living. Can anybody fill in the blanks there? So here I am pastoring in the Assemblies of God Church, trying to work through this situation, keeping my leadership involved, being accountable to the network that I was a part of. I was part of the Ohio network at the time. And I kept myself accountable, and I said, listen, this is not going well. So I tried this, I tried this, we tried this, we tried that. And I realized after a season of time, this marriage was not going to work out. 25 years. Some of those Sundays that I had to show up to preach were tough Sundays. Because what I walked through with my family the week before, so some of you have walked through some deep waters like that. The reason I'm sharing my story is because at the end of the day, we had to make the announcement to the church. I said to the board, I said, listen, I love you too much. I love this house too much to have you walk your pastor through a divorce. So I'm going to resign. Wow. I love you too much. And they said, pastor, there's no reason for you to resign. You've done nothing to disqualify you from ministry. And you don't realize it now, pastor, but you're going to need the love and the support of this house. Now, I've walked a lot of people through divorce. A lot of people. And I thought I had an idea, sitting on the front row watching it. But until you're walking in that journey, and some of you are shaking your heads like you've walked the journey, I had no idea of the depth of darkness and pain. So I said to the board, I said, please let me resign. They said, pastor, we are going to wrap our arms around you and your daughters, and we're going to get through this together. So that's exactly what they did. We made the announcement. We assumed that, as you can well imagine, a church meeting like that, we're going to make the announcement of what's happening. We assumed there'd be 10 to 15 to 20% of the people walk away. We were prepared for that and counting on it. Can I tell you, we didn't lose one individual. Amen. Not one. It's a church of around 400 or so, and we continued to grow. And here's the reason I even share this story. And that was 15 years ago. It's been a long time. And I still have a limp. But what those people saw was an imperfect pastor walking through a journey that so many of them have walked through. And then the word got out in the community. Hey, did you hear about Pastor Dale? I don't know. Guess what? More people started coming. Why? That guy can relate to what I'm going through up there. That guy's walked my walk. That guy has the limp that I can relate to. So, did I talk about the divorce every week? Of course I didn't. No. But little by little, more and more people became aware. And little by little, it became apparent I stopped wearing my wedding band, which, by the way, God does restore. Amen. By the way, God does bring beauty from ashes. Yes. And by the way, God does redeem. Yes. And I'm now with my second wife 10 years in. Yes. Praise the Lord, right? So, listen, I'm not highlighting divorce as something we should clap for. No, no, no. That was a horrible time for anybody that walks through it. But I want you to know God does restore. Yes. And God does bring beauty from ashes. And that's part of my story. So even though I still have a scar, even though I still have a limp, and people know that in my history, they also know my current situation. Right? I'm the bonus dad to two beautiful daughters. My wife is bonus mom to my two beautiful daughters, and we have four daughters that love each other. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yes.
So God can use our bruises if we allow him to.
Amen?
Amen. So we're going to come back to that in a little bit. Let's talk for a moment. Well, I want to talk about this one here. Your decisions in life make you, I see some of you nodding your head, but a crisis reveals you.
Amen.
Wow. Preach it, Pastor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you want to see what someone's made of, have their world blow up in front of you. And you'll see, you know, when someone stubs their toe, what's the first word that comes to their mind? Right? No, ouch isn't always the word, sister. Okay, we got our holy nun up here. She put her habit on her Harley, but she's up front. Ouch. No, half the room, they know what they're thinking. Because a crisis or a stubbed toe reveals you. The real you, right? So decisions in life make you, a crisis reveals you. And people will follow what you do, not what you say. People will follow what you do and not what you say.
Amen.
People saw me coming in on the front row, and I had a wonderful staff that worked with me. And during that season, they really undergirded me during that season, because there were some weeks I didn't have a whole lot to give, as you can well imagine. But every Sunday, I'd show up on that front row, and I'd be the first one with my hands raised, because I know who I serve. And I know God is still good in the midst of the trials.
Amen.
And they would see me praising God. Did I do it to have them see me? Of course not. But they were watching. They were looking. You better believe it. If you're a leader in this room, whether or not you're in the sanctuary or you're another part of a church building, people are watching how you respond to the gospel. People are watching how you respond in worship. People are watching when the pastor says, hang your head in prayer. They're watching you. Are you doing it? So you can say all you want, but it's what you do that they remember. It's what you do that they remember. I've said often that you can be the best pastor in the world and preach some of the best sermons. You ask any of your parishioners 5 years down the road, 5 months down the road, tell me a message that pastor preached to you that you remember. Most of them won't be able to list one. But they will be able to remember the times you were by them in the hospital, the times you came in their hour of need, the things you've done for them. So, we do know this is true. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The best part of, hey, I didn't do it yet. Get an amen after you read it. Now, here we go. The best part of leadership is the people. Yeah? Get an amen?
Amen.
And also, guess what? The worst part of leadership can be the people.
Amen.
Pastor Linda earlier said a quote that I've used over the years. I'd love the ministry if it wasn't for the people. But we're called to work with people who are imperfect, who lash out, who say things, who shoot darts at you sometimes. We're called to love people where they're at and serve them wholeheartedly where they're at. The worst part of leadership can be the people at times, but that's who we are called to serve. Some of the causes of limping. What are some of the causes that you see the arrows in the back there? Just real quick, scream out some names, some ideas of what are some typical causes of limping as a leader. Come on, give me some.
Gossip.
Finances.
Burnout.
Finances. What else?
Betrayal.
That what? You guys are sisters, aren't you? I love these two. They're twin sisters and they're amazing. Brother in the back.
Illness.
Yes. Other things that causes a limp in your leadership.
Doubt.
What else?
Unmet expectation.
That's good stuff. What else?
Insecurity.
Insecurities. Dude, you hit it right on the head.
The flesh.
Absolutely.
Prayer life,
wow, now it's coming really whole hard. Your brother. A little bit louder.
Lack
of support at home. So you're called to ministry, you're called to lead, but you don't have the support at home to allow you to have that kind of environment, right? Boy, I tell you what, I see some nodding heads. That could be a real cause of limping, that's for sure.
Comparison,
you know, some of
comparison.
Comparison, yeah, the comparison game, right? Do not compete, do not criticize, and do not compare. Right? It's easy to do. We all have egos, right? We all have internal things that motivate us. Do not compete, do not compare, and do not criticize. So very, very important. Some of the best leaders often have a lint from past failures or mistakes. Boy, those are some of the toughest ones to get through. And sometimes they're crippled for more than a season. Sometimes it's a short term. Sometimes it's lifelong. So ways to lead well while limping. That title's out there, but that's what this really is. Ways to lead well while limping. Number one, don't conceal your limp. Don't conceal your limp. Most likely there's a younger leader or maybe someone younger in the Lord around you that feels like they've lost their way or will someday. They need your guidance and need your encouragement. And there's going to be times where Holy Spirit will prompt you to share a little bit of your story. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had other injuries and heartaches in life and ministry just like you have, right? Divorce doesn't define who I am. It's obviously one of my bigger limps, but I've got other limps that the Holy Spirit drops into my mind to share with someone. So don't conceal your limps, whatever they might be. Sometimes the limp may be God's way of keeping you humble. Rahab, in the Bible, never lost her title as a harlot, even mentioned in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. So sometimes God keeps us humble in those moments. So don't conceal your limp. Number two
here, don't complain.
Stop your griping. It's not going to help anything. And people around you get tired of hearing about it. So stop complaining. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Don't be a martyr. No one likes a complainer. No one likes a complainer. So you suffered a failure. You suffered a setback. You made a critical error. You sinned. Others sinned against you. Honey, join the club. There ain't nothing new under the sun. So stop griping. You're not that special, honey. I preach this. You're special in God's eyes. But I've also preached this. You're not that special. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, listen, everything that you think you're going through that no one else has ever walked the journey, please, there ain't nothing new under the sun. Can I get an amen? Stop your complaining. I like Ecclesiastes 11:3. God has made everything beautiful in its time. And he also has put eternity in human hearts. But no one can fully grasp God's work from beginning to end. There was a time when I was walking my journey when it became clear that this marriage wasn't going to work. Listen, I went to the best counseling, prayed with the most godly people I could find. I mean, all of that, trust me, I did everything. But when I realized that there was a time where this wasn't going to work, I thought to myself, okay, this is going to have to resign my credentials. Gonna have to leave ministry. What am I gonna do next? That's real. That's real. And in those moments, different people would text me, call me, send me a note, whatever, and they'd reach out. Holy Spirit led them to call me to remind me that God's not finished with me yet, and God has a plan and a purpose. My job is to stay close to Him. My job is to stay close to his ear. My job is to just stay close to the bosom of a father who loves me. Yes. And stay in a posture where I'm able to hear from Holy Spirit and watch what he'll do. And I could just share with you time after time after time in these last 12 or 15 years now how God has opened up amazing doors of opportunity despite my fear some years back that everything was going to get shut down because of what I was walking through. Next one here. Make lemonade. What's that come from? When given lemons, you what? Make lemonade, right? Allow the limp that you're going through to strengthen you. You have two choices with limp. You can allow your limp to make you a better person and leader, or you can allow it to keep you from ever being whole again and never realize your full potential. So grace is available if you want to receive it. There may be forgiveness that you need to seek or forgiveness that you need to extend. We walked through the divorce a few years in, and I'm a pretty grace-filled guy in general. That's just how God made me. But you got to work through some of those hurts and resentments too, right? I mean, maybe I'm the only one in the room that would have walked that journey that way, but I had to work through some of that stuff. The hurt, the resentment, the anger, right? Those are feelings I didn't normally have to deal with, but I did. Little by little, Holy Spirit helped me. And I remember when my second wife and I, Patty, met at church. I became her pastor. How about that, right? And she could tell her friends, "Hey, I'm dating the pastor." It was kind of cool. So when it came time that we felt like the Lord was bringing us together, we had wise counsel, we stayed connected, we stayed accountable, all those things. Again, I was still pastoring. And I realized that the Lord was setting it up for us to become married. And I knew I had to go talk to my first wife. Because at that season, there wasn't a whole lot of talking. You know, we're still dealing with the kids. There was mostly texts, right? They were safer. You know, text, you don't have to see each other, right? Right? Yes. What time are you coming? 3? Okay. You know, what? All that. And so, but the Holy Spirit told me I had to go talk to her. And I met with her. And even though in my spirit, I didn't feel like at that point in time I had a whole lot I had to apologize for, I knew Holy Spirit was asking me to do it. So I met her in the parking lot of the business that she worked at. And with tears flowing down my cheek, I said, I wanted you to know that anything I've done that's hurt you in this recent season or in the 30 years I've known her at that point, I apologize and I'm sorry. Can I tell you, when I said those words, I got 55,000 tons lighter. Everything became, because I knew the responsibility that I had before the Lord to offer that sense of apology and ask for forgiveness. It was life-changing for me. Her response was what I expected, rather cold and shut down, because that's the life she was living. Fortunately, she's warmed up some. Praise God for that. You know, things have gotten a lot better, so praise God for that. She's coming around, I think. But I want you to know, sometimes there's times where we need to extend grace, and you may need to offer forgiveness or seek forgiveness, okay? Next one up, do not give up. Do not give up. You can't give up. Keep limping across the finish line. We've all seen the videos of those races where, you know, someone's in a race that maybe they've got some kind of a bum leg or something, and you just know they're not going to ever win, but boy, they were determined to finish the race. And it might have been 2 hours later than anyone, but they finished the race. They drug that bum leg in there, and they finished the race. So God's asking you not to give up. There is a better day coming. Amen? Do not give up. Let's look for a moment at some of the biblical limpers. You probably have never heard that phrase in your life, have you? A biblical limper. You probably won't see that on a t-shirt either, but biblical limpers, right? And we have at least another half an hour or 45 minutes because you're all skipping lunch, right? So this is wonderful. Thank you so much for being so holy that you can give up lunch. And it's Jesus chicken you're giving up. You're giving up time for Jesus, and you're giving up Jesus chicken. Hallelujah! All right. Looking at the time, we're done at what, 12:40? Is that correct, brother? I have 9 minutes to get through 55 minutes of stuff here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to skim through, because you're all Bible scholars, I'm going to skim through some of the biblical limpers, because I want to get some practical things here at the end. So the first thing is Joseph the dreamer, Genesis 45, 7 through 8, it should be on your screen. Moses the reluctant leader. I'm purposely skipping through these guys. I know some of you have scriptures you were going to read, but we're kind of going to be short on time, so I apologize for that. Next one is Ruth, the loyal woman. Ruth, the loyal woman. Out of Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Next one is David and his giant struggles. David and his giant struggles. It's out of 2 Samuel. Job. Of course, we can't talk about limbs without Job, right? Job's a good man. Most of us know the story of Job. We have Paul. We have Paul the missionary, right? 2 Corinthians 12:9, and then the last one is Jesus Christ, of course. We wouldn't be complete without including Jesus. No one is suffering comes close to the experiences Jesus had on the Mount of Olives and his crucifixion. Of course, we just came through Easter season and all of that out of Luke chapter 22. I want to talk some practical steps here in the last few moments that we have of leading while limping. Leading while limping. Some practical steps, because again, every one of you in this room can identify with having some kind of a hurt that's causing you to limp, either currently or in the past. If you don't have one now, you will in the future. That's called ministry. And ministry is tough sometimes, right? So leading while limping, all right? So prioritize self-care and seek support. Prioritize self-care and seek support. Recognize the need of your emotional state and how that may be impacting your leadership. how it may be impacting your leadership. Seek support. Practice self-care. You know, Pastor Linda earlier, some of you were in that session. She talked about recharging, refueling. What works for you? Because some of you, she mentioned it, I kind of identified, some of you go to the mountain and you camp and you're in heaven, right? Some of you don't like those bugs. So for you, you go to a hotel and sit by the pool, right? So whatever works for you to refuel, go sit and just look at a lake. That works for some of you. Some of you go and have coffee with a friend. But figure out what works for you to practice self-care, engaging in activities to recharge and de-stress in those moments. Number two, communicate openly and honestly. Openly and honestly. What do I mean by that? Basically, being transparent enough with your team that they know A, how to pray, and B, how to best support you. The church I was pastoring, we had four other pastors on board, and we were all pretty close. There was a genuine sense of community between us. There was love there. And they knew when I was having a tough week, and they stepped it up. And I tried to not have too many tough weeks, but sometimes the weight's just so heavy, you can't help but be down a little bit. You just can't help it. I don't care how strong you think you are, you just can't. And that team would step up. So to be able to be open about where you're at and acknowledge where you're at in your emotional state, it's hard to give what you don't have, right? So as a leader, you still have to be receiving, still have to have stuff in you to give. And there were some weeks I didn't have anything to give, and the staff, they kicked in, and I'm so very, very grateful for that. Number four, address resistance. Where did that go? I skipped over three. I'm sorry. Reevaluate leadership strategies. So kind of reflect on your approach. Delegate responsibilities. Don't be afraid to say, listen, in this particular season, I'm going to have to ask you to step it up over in this area, because I just know that it's part of my strategy to make this thing, just keep this boat afloat. I'm going to need you to step up a little bit. Number four is address resistance. There it is on the screen, or negativity. Communicate directly. And sometimes the people that are the most resistant need to be communicated with in the most direct fashion. Some of you shy away from conflict. Some of you that love Jesus and love people, you don't deal with conflict very well. But can I tell you, the higher on the leadership chain you are, the higher on that totem pole, the more conflict you're going to have to deal with.
Higher levels are higher levels.
Absolutely. And we got a sister can testify to that. All right. So it's important for all of us to realize sometimes when you have the most resistance in front of you, that's when you need to step it up and hit it right on the head and come in hot and strong and push back on that. Number five is decide on an empowering story. What do I mean by that? After you pick yourself up off the ground and you're realizing that you're walking this journey of hurt and pain, and before you get back into the fray, you have to tell yourself the story that works for you, and it's the most healthiest. For example, most of our stories are variations of two very basic assumptions. Two very basic assumptions. Number one, there's something wrong with me. They're attacking me. I've got arrows in my back because there's something wrong with me. And oh no, how am I going to fix me? The second one is this, there's something wrong with them, right? So what story are you telling? You see, there are two variations of those two basic assumptions. There's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with them. But both of these stories leave us helpless and stuck. If all you're saying is, something's wrong with me, something's wrong with them, you're getting nowhere. You're stuck and you're helpless. So you got to keep the train moving forward. Number six is show yourself compassion. Number six is show yourself compassion. Give yourself the same. Listen. Give yourself the same amount of attention and care that you do so well to others that you don't think you deserve. Show yourself some compassion. Some of you are the most compassionate souls out there when it comes to somebody that's hurting, but sometimes you need to look in the mirror and realize that person's you. So give yourself some room to be human. Talk to yourselves like you would talk to a friend. And take care of yourself, right? People don't need perfect leaders. They need honest ones who understand pain, failure, and what?
Redemption.
I repeated that on purpose. They don't need perfection. They want authenticity. Our church got unified during that season in a way that I can hardly begin to describe, because they realized that, listen, we're all just the real deal here. And God wants us to move forward and use our giftings. The one thing on the right of your page, there's a box, right? There's a box. And what does that box say? Right. I'm hearing tongues. Thank you, Lord. What's the Speak to us, Lord. Some of you take it too personal. That's my last comment I want you to get. Remember the quarterback thing. They don't attack the quarterback because they don't like the guy. Why do they attack the quarterback? He's got the ball. And for some of you, the reason those arrows are coming at you has nothing to do with you. It has to deal with your position. They're attacking your position. Woo! That is good.
Don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally. Unless you need to. There's a difference. That's a whole other sermon. All right. All right, you guys have been fun. There's some additional resources and insights gained. You'll see the list there at the bottom of the screen. Thank you so much for your patience. I'm trusting that whatever God has given to you today, you'll use. Can I just encourage you, every session you're in, listen, last thing, every session you're in, try to write down one nugget that you can take away, just one. You're not going to remember most of what I said today, and I get it, all right? But write down one nugget, Holy Spirit, drop into your spirit. Amen? Amen? Can we give a hand for Danny? Thank you, Danny.
Appreciate it. Guys, thank you so much. Listen up for a second, because you know you'll miss. You can walk out this door and be the first one for lunch.
Jesus chicken.
Okay. If you go all the way around, you have to stand on. You can walk out this door and we can walk straight out to lunch. Okay, thank you so much.
Sounds like you walked the journey too.
Huh?
Yeah, hey buddy. You're a good man. Hi, Judy. Of course. It took me a half a second. I knew the face. I mean, a lot of people.
Good to see you.
I remember your face.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Awesome.
Andrea, nice
yes,
to, oh, you're from this
you.
Church.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Nice
to meet you.
Yes, nice to meet you.
Good
too.
To meet you. Don't forget your Jesus chicken. Hello, Mr.
Elite.
I love that.
Did you come to New York? Have you come to New York?
I have, yes. I've been there more than once.
We did your class.
I remember that.
You
remember your hair.
Yes. And then you asked about my relationship with my mom.
Is that right?
And since then, my mom actually has gotten sick.
She's gotten sick, you said? Or sick?
She got sick.
Okay.
And she goes to church with me now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You will get through it. You have people around you that are watching. Wonderful. I'm so sorry. Praise the Lord. Lord, I pray for my sister, Lord, for the grace and the strength she needs in these days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're part of a healthy church. That's half the battle. So good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Oh, praise God. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you, Reed.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I remember all of what you said because when I was a teenager, I was reading the story of Joseph and talking with the Lord and then walking with him. And the Lord spoke to me at 19 in order to walk with him one day.
Oh, cool. Wow.
I had a stroke 2.5 years ago,
right?
Which came from someone trying to kill me when I was 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
The last 2.25 years. I have led more people to Christ.
It's always good to say hello, honey.
I love him.
He's my husband.
I know he is.
Yes, so this is my wife.
I know who you are.
I just wanted to say hello.
100%.
Yes.
Because then the strength is...
And I could have taught that Joseph story, of course. But thank you for sharing that, Chris. And it's good to see you again.
Thank you for your testimony.
You know this guy, right? You're welcome.